This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by The Morning Stream at frogpants.com/TMS. Join Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett every morning, Monday through Thursday, as they talk about your world. That's The Morning Stream on iTunes.
Where am I?
Back from the dead. I've saved you.
My God! How?
By magic, of course. With a kiss, because I like you.
Where's Dale and Zarkov?
Don't worry about them. They're safe now. Quickly, put his uniform on before the lizard men arrive to bury you.
Oh, well, who wants to live forever? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack episode 68. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Joining me today, I'm Scott Johnson, by the way. Joining me today, we have Brian Hot Hale Dunaway.
Booby Slave! Booby Slave, retrieve me my Mingo phone. I need to contact Flash Gordon. I hear he is on his way in his penis-shaped rocket. Flash!
What the crap? Your Mingo phone.
Yeah, remember, you know what I'm saying? That? The Mingo phone.
They called it the Mingo phone?
No, they didn't call it the Mingo phone, but it was several things that were Mingo.
Yeah, everything
this,
was
Mingo,
yeah, Mungo miles.
Mungo miles.
25 Mungo miles away.
That's great, dude. Did not see that coming. All right, very nice work. And also with us, Randy the Lizard Man Jordan.
Oh, I don't last long. Aloha, Scott, Brian. You know, I only have one way to introduce my experience watching this week's film, and it is with a song. It goes like this. Dum 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 dum. Okay, I'll stop
for 20 minutes.
The third stanza really got me. That was awesome.
Dum 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 dum.
And then finally, bringing up the rear, as he is oft meant to do, Brian the Merciless Ibbett.
What's that you say? This planet in the SK system is called Earth? Well, then I can finally use my earthquake button. I've been wondering what this thing was for.
First thing I noticed in the film. First
really?
Thing. Like the yes. very, I actually, first thing I wrote down, I saw the movie.
Same here.
Look at this, Samantha. It says earthquake.
I totally missed that. First thing I wrote down, hot hail.
Yeah, hot hail is crazy. But then in the case of the earthquake, it's a button, but he activated it with his ring. He didn't even use the button.
Yeah, why right. do you need a button?
Flashing light above a button.
Stupid.
There's a great moment in this film when some woman, I can't tell you details like names or who they were or what they were doing, but some woman says to Flash Gordon, yeah, we're going to use this telepathy phone right here. I'm like, wait a minute. So why do you have all these instruments?
Yeah.
Why do you even do what?
Because that's what you do in science fiction in 1980.
Princess Aura.
Yeah, Princess Aura. That's right.
Princess Hora.
Princess Hora. Wayne, did you watch Flesh Gordon? You did, didn't you?
No, she pretty much did it for us.
I want to give credit where credit is due. Al Ruth, fan of the show, listener of the show, some months ago, sent us all copies of Flash Gordon on Blu-ray. We'll talk about the merits of such a transfer here shortly. But that is how we got a hold of this. It is not on Netflix streaming currently. It is available via rental and, of course, on Blu-ray. And we want to thank him for doing that. Not only did he provide us with movies to see, but he may have, and I'll say it right now early in the show and try to prove my case as we go, he may have provided my single favorite thing we've ever watched for Film Sack.
You know what else Al may have done? Al may have started, Al may be the first person to have sent us four copies of a film for Film Sack. You know, this may become a trend. Mm. And if that's the case, all I can say is no one can ever come in under this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not possible for you to find a movie on Blu-ray that is more awkward for like what
or less appropriate to Blu-ray. How about that?
Yeah, I just can't.
Lies.
I But like, I'm not,
Blu-ray.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it's not great for Blu-ray. I'm just saying that if there was like a committee sitting around saying, let's come up with the first 1,000 films we're going to put on Blu-ray. You know, you know what I mean? Like, this doesn't make the cut.
It's the last one they're going to do. I will agree.
199.
I really think out of all the movies, this goes back. And the reason why I love this on Blu-ray is you don't most of the movies you're seeing now, the colors are so not vibrant. I mean, you get very few movies that are so vibrant. And this movie just really benefits from Blu-ray.
Well, yeah. I mean, most movies now are kind of are subtle and not ridiculous, whereas this movie.
Yeah. It is over-the-top, perfect example of, oh, my God, look at the definition on this freaking film. I mean, the transfer is fantastic.
Look, so if you could take the left butt cheek of – if you could take the left butt cheek of Liberace – most of the old Vegas Strip and about 2 quarts of David Bowie sperm and then grind that all up in a blender. That's the look and feel
and throw the blender away.
That's the look and feel of this movie.
I hate to bring up, you know, is Scott Fletcher ever going to introduce what this movie is?
Of course he is. In fact, here he is right now. Telling us all about it. I'm just kidding. That's not it. This is him doing it the only way that he knows how. Check it out.
Flash Gordon. Flash gets a facelift in this update of the 1930s comic strip. After being skyjacked, along with Comely Dale Arden, to the planet Mongo, Flash, played by Sam Jones, learns that the merciless ruler, Emperor Ming, played by Max von Sydow, plans to destroy Earth and take Dale as his concubine. There's only one thing to do. Unite Mongo's warring kingdoms, foil Ming's plan, and get the girl.
Yes! Get the girl. So, there's your film.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. All right. I got a little bit of story here. I had seen the film in 1980 as a kid.
Wow.
I don't remember who took me or what the deal was, but I'd seen it, I want to say, twice.
Your gay uncle?
My gay uncle, maybe. Not that my uncle, Uncle Joel, if you're listening, you're a hippie, not a gay guy. He's such
hippie,
a hippie.
Hippie, that's what I meant. Did I say gay?
He's such a hippie. Anyway, I don't remember who we went with or what the deal was, but I remember being... shocked by a very specific moment in the film, and then this became the only memory I had of it until I saw it again here this week.
I know what that's going to be, too.
And I don't know if it is or not, but you can tell me. My one memory of this movie...
Oh, wait, where she's getting... Where the one of the girls that I don't remember anything about them is getting tortured?
No, none of that. I don't remember any of that, because I was too young for that to matter. That may as well have been a dude. You know, it didn't get to me the way that it may have gotten to me in my teens or something. But
it was colitis oozing out of his face, right?
It was the fight on the rotating freaking thing with the spikes. And when Calliope or colitis or whatever the hell's name is, he goes flying onto the thing, gets stabbed with all the spikes that come shooting out of it.
You mean Destro? Then,
yes, yeah. Destro / Darth Vader. He lands on that thing and out of his eyes. Now, what I thought my memory was is that orange jelly came out of his eyes, but now having seen it again and in huge HD, it's his eyes coming out of his eyes.
Yeah. It's some balloons. There's a couple of balloons,
right?
Kind of share something over top of them.
Yeah, little condoms with a pupil drawn on the top.
Yeah,
comes squeezing out, and his tongue comes out going. Gah.
Oh, that was
and
so awesome.
And that is my one enduring memory. I remembered nothing else. In fact, I was shocked as I sat and watched it. Nothing else rang a bell other than the music and kind of the general look and feel, but.
Was this prepubescent Scott Johnson?
Yes.
Because it has to be, because there was a lot of boobies in this.
I was 10, so I don't remember.
Not interested.
No, I didn't care about any of that. There were no naked boobies, but there were
no exposed boobies, for sure.
Man, but there was some serious thigh going on. Lots of thigh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Plenty of that. I mean,
maybe no breasts, but lots of thigh.
Lots of Max von Sydow inner thigh. But isn't this our second movie with him? Remind me.
Yes, it was The Omen.
Wait. Yeah.
I think so.
He should have been in. He should have been in The Omen. If he's not. That guy belongs in The Omen.
He was in one of those, The Exorcist of The Omen, and I thought it was the one we saw. I'll have that information.
He is in The Exorcist, but we haven't seen that. I know he's in The Exorcist for sure, but I swear he's in a movie
He wasn't in The Omen, though.
He wasn't? He should have been, though.
That was Gregory Peck.
Sure.
Oh, but, it was The Exorcist. You're right.
But yeah. Doesn't it seem like a guy, doesn't it seem like he should be in The Omen? Like, that movie's made for a guy like Sydow to be in. Now, I know he's in Brian Dunaway's favorite movie of all time, which, of course, was Minority Report.
Jason X?
No. Was he in Jason X?
No.
I hope so. No, you love the Minority Report. Don't lie.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Yeah.
We haven't watched Judge Dredd.
If I have a level 2 brain scale.
By the way, IMDb is deciding not to work for me. I don't know why.
Ghostbusters 2. Yeah, same here. It's like giving you the crap version, the 1991 version.
Of course. We saw Max von Sydow in Dune.
Dune!
Oh, Dune. Yes.
You know,
Dreamscape.
The spice that must makes flow.
What about Dreamscape 2, so that's
the
two
spice
of them.
Must flow.
Don't forget. Spice mm-hmm. must flow. All right, but back to... All right. So let's talk about the movie proper here. Mike Hodges, director. Mm-hmm. I would tell you what he's in, but IMDb won't let me.
You know, I have never seen this movie.
What?
This was my first time seeing this movie. Now, Brian. I've seen bits of it, like when I was turning through TV, you know, I was like, oh, what is that? Oh, it's what the crap is this? It's crazy. I'm turning it.
And, just keep going.
Yeah, there's guys, there's crazy big turning.
Yeah.
But I've never seen this all the way through.
All right, well, here was your chance, finally.
Always had such a special place in my heart. Saw this in 80, bought the soundtrack, which, by the way, I don't know if anybody owns the soundtrack, but the soundtrack contains about 85% of the movie's dialogue.
Oh, yeah, so I own the Blu-ray, so I would think it probably about the same thing.
What? Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. So it's Queen music, right? It's, you know, it's 45 minutes of Queen music, but
it's
they leave
45 minutes of one Queen song.
It's all stretched out like sinewy material. Sure. Yeah,
that's right. But then you've got, like, you know, you've got the whole Prince Voltan thing, and you've got the whole Prince Baron thing. And it's seriously, it feels like about 30 minutes of dialogue taken from the movie interjected in with the album and with the music. So
about it.
You know, you see the movie and then you get the soundtrack and you feel like you're seeing the movie over and over again. As a kid, this was like, you know, the movie was so much better than I remembered it because I had the album, I listened to the album, and for whatever reason, the acting was much better in my head as I was listening to the album. So seeing it again is like, oh, this is, how did I love this?
So was the overdubbing just as prominent with what's his name, with Samuel, what's his name, Sam Jones, as it was in the film? Because my gosh, did he utter a single thing on camera?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I mean, there were times like when he was on screen with Brian Blessed, who played Prince Voltan, you know, the flying dude with the shorty shorts.
Everybody had shorty shorts.
They really
and
did.
The really, really white teeth.
Yeah. Him, they're sitting there talking together, and you would hear Sam Jones going like this. He'd say, and then you hear, way over here, sounding guy, you know, going, yes, Flash, we shall do what the thing is. And they're sitting inches from each other. And I just remember thinking, all right, really? Well, I looked later. It's like some of the trivia said, I guess Sam Jones was kind of pissed because he wasn't getting paid on time or something. So he never showed up for his reloops and his re-recordings and all that. So most of that is not even him talking.
Oh, I wonder who it is. That would be interesting trivia. Yeah.
The trivia I read, and by the way, the answer to that, Brian, is it has never been revealed. It has been concealed and then lost to the annals of the last 30 years.
So it's not Glenn Close.
It's not Glenn. Should have been. But the trivia I read was that that his delivery was so bad that they felt like they had to replace the voice with someone else.
Oh, well, that is entirely possible. In fact, I would vote for that if you held a gun to my head.
I believe that, yeah.
Because it's pretty bad. Let's see. Melody Anderson plays Dale Arden. I just want to say real quick, look her up now. She looks great.
Really?
She looks fantastic for her age.
Oh, Scott, don't go there.
For reals. She totally holds up. And I'm not seeing I'm not seeing a bunch of plastic surgery either. She looks great to me.
Actress. She hasn't been an actress for 25
well,
years.
Well, yeah. She hasn't been doing
do
much.
It. That'll clean you up real good.
She hasn't been doing much. But
stop acting and you get all, your skin gets better and the.
But, you know, as 1980s actresses go, she's a fine looking lady. So here I
look, first image.
Here I am not making fun of the chick in the movie. Can you guys believe it? She doesn't have bad breath. She looks fine to me. She's fine.
Can you make fun of, say, Ornella Muti?
No,
maybe?
No, she's hot.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, she still is. Yeah, she's
hot,
by the
freaky
way.
Italian chick.
Very hot chick, that lady. Yeah, I didn't really have it. There was no female issues for me in this movie. Partially because they're just, they're not
except
actresses.
Sam Jones.
Sam Jones is the worst woman in the history of film. Yeah. Max von Sydow looking like Ming the Merciless for sure. It was weird to hear him talking because as soon as he said a word, I went, oh, well, of course that's him. But when I was a kid, I didn't know him from anybody. And Ming was just, you know, faceless, personalityless, you know, epitome of evil, you know, Hitler without all the politics. Just, you know, as black and white as you can draw a villain. That's kind of what he seemed like. And by the way, I feel like this movie had the depth of a like Thundercats episode. You know what I mean? Like that's about as far as it gets.
But that's what you expect. I mean, this is a parody basically of, I don't know, it's just over the top.
Is it a parody? Is it supposed to be a parody or what are they trying to do?
It's really campy. Well, let's put it that way. That's probably a better word I'm looking for. It's really campy, and it was really hard for me to write anything that was insulting to the movie because it was already insulting the crap out of itself, you know, and it was, totally camp.
It spent the entire movie making fun of itself.
Yeah, it did. So it was really hard to find something funny. It's like, yeah, touche, yeah.
I found a really funny quote on the IMDb forums about this movie. Excuse me. It says an Inquirer article was all about 10 years ago claiming Sam was being blackmailed about being in a gay porn film he did back in 1973. Anyone know anything about this? This is my favorite part of this. He says they even had a tiny still photograph in the article of a man looking very much like him, apparently in the throes of gay sex. Of course, it was in the Inquirer and they could not show the full still photograph. Never heard about any of this further. I'd certainly love to see this porn movie. Way to go, IMDb. Way to attract the freaking weirdest dudes ever.
Oh, man.
Right.
I mean, when I'm not sure, happily be into your gay porn, whoever you are. I'm just saying, what kind of gay porn are you into where your next big conquest and goal is to find out what film exists with Sam, what's his butt? Sam / Gordon Jones. And whether or not he's in that or not, that just seems crazy.
Look at you, IMDb, flustering Scott Johnson.
Right?
It's getting all worked up about this. I don't know why, but it just bugged me, that guy.
I don't blame you. Yeah, because you expect it to be like, I don't know, you expect IMDb to be very, I don't know, serious, straight-laced.
I guess, or more, I expect more film nuts and stuff like that. But you know what? I've come to the conclusion. Any site that has any kind of reasonable large traffic, it all ends up being like YouTube comments. They all just end up being assholes at the end of the day.
YouTube comments are the worst.
Oh, they're the single worst thing ever. Kurt Russell auditioned to play Flash Gordon, according to an interview with Russell in Starlog magazine in 81. Dino De Laurentiis really wanted Russell for the part, but he ultimately turned it down because Russell thought the character was lacking in personality. Really?
Pretty much.
Wow. How'd you know that? How'd you get that from the script?
You could see him, though. He'd be great. He would have acted. That would be nice.
I like this. I think it was a great homage to the 30s. Did you guys ever watch
I have
old
a bunch
stuff?
Of them. I love them. I have some radio serials as well. I even have some of the old comic books stashed away somewhere. Mm. I like Flash Gordon. I like the cheese and the stupidness of it and all that stuff. This movie is not good, Flash Gordon.
I like the idea that Flash Gordon is a regular athlete. Like you can they advertise him as a superhero, but he's not. He's a regular guy who's just very athletic and he, you know, manages to survive being shot at a lot.
Yeah.
I like
for the
that.
Giants,
I think that's great.
Well, it's because the bad guys are always shooting in the other direction.
In this movie, he's a quarterback for the Jets.
Exactly. He's playing some type, which makes no sense at all. So he gets the ball and he runs through. I'm like, that's a running back. He's not a quarterback.
Yeah, I know. He's doing all these.
That was the single worst part of the movie for me. It was like, and I was like, the football references right?
He's going to do like a place kick or something. It's like, no. Where's your second team?
He's playing some kind of primitive game.
He keeps throwing the ball and hitting people, and then someone picks it up and throws it back to him. Except when the one guy who's from Earth and knows how to throws it back at him, Flash isn't paying attention and gets hit right in the noggin.
Makes perfect sense. Max von Sydow's Ming costume weighed over 70 pounds.
Why?
He could only stand in it for a few minutes at a time.
Those costumes were beautiful, man.
And cut. Oh, I got to sit down. Oh. Mike Hodges was the eighth director chosen, so now you're starting to see where we're going here.
Eighth? Yeah. Did you say
eighth
director.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Right after seven. I don't know who that guy was, but nine went whew at the end.
Right?
Director Mike Hodges, referring to the numerous production problems that plagued the film, once called it, quote, the only improvised $27 million movie ever made, unquote.
Improvised.
Now, what I'm about to tell you is going to make you all sigh in relief that this happened. George Lucas had hoped he was going to remake Flash Gordon based on the 1936 stuff until he learned that Dino De Laurentiis had already bought the rights, which became this film. And so he stopped all production and all writing and everything else he was working on for Flash Gordon and started on Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. So we almost didn't get Star Wars, dude.
Wow.
Almost.
Taking this.
Oh, can you imagine?
You know, it's funny because some of the swamp scenes on the on Robin Hood's moon planet really reminded me of the, because I had to look it up. I was like, ooh, this looks so familiar. I wonder if this was, if this influenced anybody in The Empire Strikes Back whenever, you know, Dagobah? Yoda was training. Yeah, Dagobah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. I had the same thought. It looked very familiar, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
I found it difficult watching this film and knowing that it was made 2 and 3, 4 years after Star Wars Episode IV. And it was so much, so inferior, you know, really? Technically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there, really? Brian Dunaway, defend your position on this one, because I have to agree with Randy. There's,
honestly?
We got Empire Strikes Back less than a year later.
This is some great, I mean, this is some great mat cutting. I mean, because really, I mean, if you look in a lot of movies from this time period, I mean, you get a lot of black lines around people that are in front of blue screens.
Don't get me wrong, Brian. I'm talking about the original Episode IV with the mayonnaise on the lens for the you know, I get that. I'm just saying lightsabers and
well, the lasers looked as good as it looked almost as good as the lightsabers. I'm serious. I'm not saying it was executed as good, but the actual
rubber
quality
spikes on a tilting circle.
How about the right, or the Hawkmen, like, all flying in formation, and, like, when they get shot, they go, you know, they all go straight down. And
let's face it. Look at some of the slow motion stuff. Look at some of the miniature work they did. Fantastic. Yes.
Will you agree with me that they were too ambitious? That they tried too many shots of people flying in the sky and stuff?
I think the wingmen just totally blew, but I think everything else was okay. I mean, some of the scenes with them, with the miniature, like the miniature rockets coming through the fog, the timing of that to make it just right, to make it look really good, it looked pretty dang
well,
decent.
Well, speaking of miniatures, what about the miniature of the palace, the Huckman's palace, that does have the floating disc in the middle? I do like the floating disc. One of my favorite things in the
film. Oh, I love the floating disc. I love the remote control, too, that's like the size of an ottoman.
Yeah.
But when they show the miniature of that, it's getting blasted by Ming's ship.
Yeah.
And it's like cracking up and you know, it's bouncing up and down. It's like, all right, well, what's keeping this thing up in the air, first of all?
Yeah.
Why does it look like it's being bounced on a platform?
Yeah.
Wouldn't the first shot, like, send it spiraling down to its...
Wouldn't you also, Brian, say that there were Star Wars influences? Like, there was a lot of sort of nods and stuff.
I think you guys are looking at it and... Oh, I'm sorry. You said that, Brian. I'm sorry. I think that if you look at what they were really trying to do, which was kind of an homage to what was going on during the 30s, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that kind of floated like that. But the technical parts that they actually pulled off, I think, was really good. I mean, I think it was intentional that it looked like some of that stuff looked like.
So I'm going to give you this. If they really did intend for some of that cheesy effect stuff to...
There was serious talent on this.
If it was supposed to just mirror what the old show was doing, kind of, like, here's big movie version of that, then I will give you some leeway for that. However, or rather, this leads me to say this. If they were going to remake Flash Gordon today, and someone somewhere is working on it, probably.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. They ought to do. Here's what they ought to do. They ought to go to the guys who did Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow and let them do it. You know? Like, it needs to be larger than life, really effective special effects with what we can do today, but still retain that...
Do you mean a steampunk kind of thing is what
that
you're
thinking? That old serial feel, right?
Yeah, the old serial feel. The kind of weird black and white sepia, the robots that look like giant barrels with two eyes on them. You know, just kind of bring that cheese forward into a time where we can make it look intentionally so that when you watch it, you're not going, well, did they mean it to look cheesy or was that supposed to? We'll look at it and go, wow, that is the best produced intentional cheese I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I could deal with that.
I think this is pretty straightforward. I think this is cheese.
Yeah.
On purpose. That's the way I feel. I feel like the execution, I feel like there's a lot of good talent on the team. I just really do.
According to the original storyline, when Dale Arden is entranced by Ming's hypnotic ring, she was originally supposed to, and they didn't film this, but it was supposed to be, she was supposed to be having an erotic vision of a picnic with Ming in a 1920s setting.
What is that all about?
Yeah, an erotic picnic? Yep. Sure. Yep. Have those all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, we watched that. It had there was two guys and a girl, and what was it? Sucker? What was it? Duck You Sucker? Is that what
Duck
we
You
had?
Sucker?
That's
yeah.
what it was.
Oh, yeah,
remember
yeah, yeah.
Remember that erotic picnic at the end of that?
Oh, you're right.
Yep. Who can forget? Dude,
she was remembering.
Who can forget that movie?
There is a hole in the roof.
None of us can.
Dude. You know what? You know what this movie boils down to for me? I mean, I've only seen it the one time, and that was just a couple of hours ago. And the beginning of the
wounds
film,
are still fresh.
Well, there's that. But the beginning of the film tells me this story about this guy, this quarterback who's vacationing in the Green Mountains, and he gets on a private plane with this woman he's never met before, and that he's interested in her, and
without
Ming the Merciless,
a word of dialogue, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
Ming the Merciless is raining down the fire and somehow flies in and pulls the pilots out. I don't know why. And
with his face, though, Randy, with his face.
they happen to crash land the plane in the house of a guy who's got a rocket ship and is a bit crazy and a gun. And they go up into space. And from that moment onward, I can't tell you what the hell happened in this movie. And that's what bugs me. Because I just told you I could describe that whole setup really nicely.
Yeah.
It made sense to me. It was entertaining enough for me to keep going. But after that, I really have no idea. I have no idea who the women were, who was the Ming's daughter, and who was the – I have no idea. There
really?
Were other women. I have no clue. I couldn't – like the movie finished and I'm like – what happened after the plane wreck?
Yeah.
Like, I really don't know.
It's a little haphazard slapped together, but I call that the Stargate effect. For me, that's what the original Stargate film was like. It was 20 minutes of solid storytelling, sensible whatever setup, and then everything went to hell, and nothing made sense from that point on. Better visuals, better production, and everything else, but it's kind of the same problem.
And my problem with it isn't so much that I couldn't follow the story, because you don't need to be able to follow the story to
level
watch
two brain
this movie.
Capacity.
But what's that?
Level 2 brain capacity.
Level 2.
I did need an expander. But it wasn't that. That wasn't my problem. My problem was that the part of the movie that I couldn't follow was like 5 hours long.
Yeah.
And it had one song. That was my problem.
I don't know what song you're talking about. Oh, Freddie Mercury. I miss him.
Yes.
So much.
So
Lizard Man. What up with the Lizard Man?
Yeah, we'll talk more about Lizard Man because they were pretty awesome. And they had eyes inside their mouth. That made sense.
Inside their mouth. The whole face inside their mouth.
Yeah, that made a lot of sense.
There was these beautiful set pieces and beautiful wardrobes and everything. And all of a sudden, these freaking things come into the play.
And they didn't even bother to give him a cool name. Like, oh, these are the Zontar from Planet Nebulon 5. It was more. It was just that here are the lizard men. They're the slave race.
Lizard men did not. Lizard men wore the red suits, too, by the way. At least
they
by
did?
The noises. At least by the noises, I'm assuming.
Oh, you
so.
Think with the gas masks?
I thought they were robots.
Exactly.
I thought they were
they
robots.
They did not even shoot a gun, except for one guy. One lizard dude shot one gun, and he didn't hit anything. Not a single – every lizard man that was on screen got killed.
Or they were in cages or trying to escape or whatever.
Right. It's just awesome that the first time we see a lizard man, he's – I don't know what he's doing, but he falls out of favor with the death bot.
He's trying to get out. He's trying to get away. He's trying to escape. Yeah.
That is not very well portrayed. You have you're really not given an explanation for why that lizard man needs to die. But oh my gosh, he gets whacked quickly.
He's like apparently is the cockroach in Ming's palace.
Totally, dude. Totally. So there's a copy and paste of a certain thing in the trivia I want to mention just real quick. This seems to be, and I'm not kidding you, in almost every film we watch, there is a piece of trivia toward the end of the list that says Arnold Schwarzenegger was turned down for the lead role because of his impenetrable Austrian accent, or because he was in Terminator 2, or because he was doing some other thing.
I can play Flash.
I'm starting to feel punked. Like, I'm starting to feel like that is a tropey thing. Somebody sticking in IMDb every time.
It's the three-wolf moon of IMDb.
Right. And the world wouldn't have noticed it if FilmSack hadn't come along.
No, that's right.
I buy it. I bet I can almost guarantee you that he was that tenacious and just showed up at everything. I want to be in your movie.
Schwarzenegger had this agent who just worked 24/7 driving around getting him auditions.
Well, this was the period when Schwarzenegger was showing his wiener in those magazines, right? Wasn't that about that time?
You think movie? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
his great big Austrian wiener. Remember that?
Who is determined?
Thanks, Scott.
I can't get it out of my head.
Oh my God! It shouldn't be in your head.
Worse than Zardoz or better?
This is my eraser.
This is so much better than Zardoz.
I call it worse than Zardoz, and I don't mean worse in a bad way. I mean worse as in I feel like this was a bigger train wreck, and therefore I love it because I love a good train wreck. But I feel like Zardoz was probably more earnest in its want and need to be in a piece of entertainment, and this was
I'm with my partner in my partner in film, Brian Dunaway. This is way better than Zardoz.
Really? Because Zardoz, I don't know, dude.
And I'm putting aside my own personal, you know, my personal adolescent love for this film and saying, I think this is
better than Zardoz.
Than Zardoz.
I don't know, man.
Not just in production values, but in, you know, think about it. What would be, would a different director have made this a better film? Or would better, more believable acting have made this a better film? Because, you know, it wasn't the set design. It wasn't the, a little bit to special effects. But, I mean, it wasn't costuming. It wasn't the plot. You know, it was something like it was a director or it was this actor or this was fixable.
Yeah, but Zardoz had a giant head coughing guns up.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Where do you start to fix that?
Are you arguing that Zardoz is better because it's crappier and therefore is more film sacky? Zardoz is more film sacky.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I think I'm saying that this one is... Zardoz had an earnestness to it that made it even stranger than it should have been.
Yes.
This had more of a, we don't know what the hell we're doing feeling to it.
Yes, I would go along with that.
But then we have to get into the argument about whether it's possible for something to be so bad that it's good. You want the circle to go all the way around. Yeah. And I just think things just are worse and worse and worse. And it's not a circle.
I think when they got through with this film, I think they all sat back and said, good job. I really do. I feel like they did this.
I bet you're right.
You know, we had our ups and downs. I know we had our doubts, people, but good job.
They had a rap party with like 7 kegs of beer and cocaine all over the place. That's what you're saying?
Oh, I love it, dude.
And they all got bats to beat up on the lizard men.
Uh-huh. In the Zardoz, I feel like everybody just went, I don't know what the hell that was. Let's go home. Let's just move
Here's
on.
Here's what I think. This is what happened at the rap party. Sam stood up and said,
this place is a lunatic asylum.
And I agree with him. All right. Let's do a trope.
No, Sam had somebody else say that for him.
Yeah, good point. Good point. That's not even him. Talk about a trope here, the old quicksand scenes. Where have they gone? No more quicksand in our movies. I love that. You could count on it in every movie pre 85. Pretty much every action adventure had some scene with quicksand in it. And I don't know what is it like the smoking thing, you know, where it suddenly became out of vogue and nobody, you know, no more quicksand. But I miss it.
I think it was a total throwback during the 80s, looking at, you know, movies in the 50s and movies in the 30s. And quicksand was very good fodder from the 30s, you know, in that serialized type of era. So I think it makes sense.
Maybe people are doing things that replace it, like, you know, Luke and the rest of the crew or the rest of the... The crew, the rest of the people, the rest of the people sound stupid too. Anyway, the Star Wars people, they're down there in the trash compactor, and that's kind of like, oh, here's a new way of doing the same thing.
Yeah,
well, they do it. They kind of do it with Luke's X-wing on Dagobah too.
Yeah,
how it sinks in.
That's true.
And now we all got the internet, so we all know that most, you know, what 99% of quicksand is no deeper than 3 or 4 feet, something like that.
You know the old saying.
Yeah, so I mean, where would you go? You'd be stuck. It'd suck. Well, I'm stuck in this quicksand, but I guess I'll just stay here for a while.
Yeah. And so now, okay, got a big question for all of us. And I don't care who answers this. Someone's got to know. Is there such a thing as hot hail?
No.
Only
holy hail.
Holy hot hail. What is that all about?
So just for the listeners' sake, in case you've not seen the movie or just listening to this, at one point during the early film, part of the film, Ming the Merciless, who truly is merciless, he's without mercy. Let's put it that way.
He's got a shiny head.
He caused hot hail to rain down from the skies, which basically were just hot red coals. But
Was it?
But the
was
word
it
pale describes water.
Does it?
Right?
Okay, I don't know.
I was confused because I was confused. This is the part that did confuse me because when he actually hit the hot hail, a few seconds later there was hail.
It was hail.
And
little
then
bits.
Then it melted. It was real hail, and then it melted and went. And then after that, there was meteors that Dr. H or Hans Zarkov.
Yeah. Dr.
He
H.
Said,
I like that.
Yeah, Dr. H. He said the moon is getting hit by something, and this, or the debris that's falling down is part of the moon. And so that wasn't the hot hail, from what I understood.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched this movie six times since.
But he had a button for it, along with earthquake, hurricane.
He did.
Yeah, they also had a telepathic phone system, but you know, we're okay with that.
I wonder if I captured any audio from that. I might have.
I hope so.
Fun fact, if you search Google for hot hail, you get, did you mean hotmail?
The thing is, you can, you know, there are volcanoes that spew out molten earth, you know, way up into the sky, and it rains down in all sorts of places. But even that, like that really ridiculously hot lava rocks in little bits, they cool really fast because they're flying through the air, you know?
I wonder if it wasn't supposed to be some kind of acid hail or something, like acid rain.
Maybe.
Maybe it's dry ice.
Maybe so.
I don't know. What they could have just called it. Meteorites or something that makes sense to me.
It's been awesome to add to my vocabulary.
I don't think you said the word right, the vocabulary part. Do G-forces really put you to sleep is my next question.
Oh, I don't know. They make you have sexy dreams, though.
Yeah, dude. See, you're going
G4 puts me to sleep.
I have a trope that drove me crazy. Stupid weapons to duel with. Are you kidding me? You're gonna have a
hello.
You're gonna get one hit on me as I lurch at you, and that's it. End of duel. We're now grappling.
It was the Indiana Jones method of wrestling on a giant spinning disc full of spikes.
It was.
Yeah.
But I loved it. Choose your weapon of destruction. I'll take a whip.
I'll take a whip, please. How about just take a big gun, laser gun?
Yeah.
It seems like you'd be done. One shot flashes off the edge. The Jets would be in the market for the next draft to find a new quarterback.
It's just dueling with whips at least isn't as bad as some movies we've seen. You're like, duel with this glove that has claws on it or whatever. But whips are just so ineffective.
Come on. I would
ask
for some hand tasers.
Yeah.
Or the giant Q-tips like they used on American Gladiators would have been awesome.
Heck yeah, dude.
What if you accidentally find yourself dueling a guy who spent his entire adult life using whips sexually in some dungeon in his house? And it's like, so you just hit him as hard as you can. He's like, yeah.
What are you saying about Timothy Dalton? Speaking of which, I almost forgot. That's how the Zardoz, this movie's connected to Zardoz in a very special way. Mm-hmm. These two movies, which I think are thematically kind of similar. And the way they look and feel and just how weird and effed up they are. It's the two movies that feature a future James Bond, or in his case, a washed up one. But, you know, Timothy Dalton hadn't gone anywhere yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I looked through the entire cast list for members of the Order of the British Empire, because I thought when I saw the name Timothy Dalton, I thought, oh, Sir Timothy Dalton. Not correct. Mm. He is not a member of the Order of the British Empire. But there is one in the entire cast list. There is one person who is an MBE. Can you guess who?
The Blessed guy.
Is it Brian Blessed?
No.
Not Brian Blessed, who I thought that would be it, too.
Okay, I know who it is.
Max von Sydow?
Mm-hmm.
Peter Weingard.
Dude, Max von Sydow is like Swedish and French.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And also so. Ugly.
Don't let anybody
in. not Peter Weingard?
Nope.
Wingard?
I just knew Dalton had gotten knighted. Didn't you? Wouldn't you have thought?
I would have thought so, yeah. I thought it was a rule. If you played 007, you were knighted.
Apparently not. you have to do more than two movies.
How about Topol, the Dr. Hans Zarkov guy, no?
No, you got to dig in the cast list to find Robbie Coltrane, who got his MBE.
He was in this?
Yes.
Oh, so Robbie Coltrane, who plays Hagrid on the Harry Potter, the Harry Peter movies, he is... He was also in the other movie we saw on this show, which was about the one with Liam Neeson in it. What was it? Not Kroll. The other one.
We take way too much time in this podcast trying to remember the name.
I know. the one where he was they had to go find the thing. Freaking, I don't remember.
Excalibur?
No, he was in that too. But the one with the stuff in it. I don't remember the name. Forget it. We'll think about it.
Well, I'm going to start a campaign for Timothy Dalton for Order of the British Empire, and I'm gonna call it the Hot Fuzz campaign. If you're a named actor in Hot Fuzz, I think you should be knighted.
Okay, something else I didn't know about Ming's Empire. If you're going to get married at the royal wedding, they're going to play a Queen-inspired rock version of Here Comes the Bride.
Dude, awesome. What about the music that starts when they go to gas Flash Gordon?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Has there ever been...
It was sad. I was so sad when he died.
I wasn't. I just went, he's going to come save every one of us. He's going to do it. Let's see. I think Freddie did the music and the wardrobe is a little note I wrote here.
Did you guys notice? So the little pet that Princess Aura pulls around on a chain.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Fellini, right?
Fellini, the actor. Is our good old buddy from Willy Wonka and the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Deep Roy?
Oh, really? Is that Deep?
No way he could have been old enough. But yeah, that's Deep Roy.
Oh, no way! I kind of thought he looked familiar. Kim goes, "This is what Kim says." This is so funny because we have this connection to an X-Files episode that we'll never forget. Did you ever see the one where there's like a little tiny Indian guy turned out to be Deep Roy pulling himself around on like a cart that you'd use to fix oil?
Oh, it's the one with all the circus carnies, right?
Yeah, and he keeps coming up like under the stall in the bathroom and all kinds of weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it really left an impression on us, like gave Kim nightmares. She hated that episode. And as soon as we saw that dude, she went, oh my gosh, it's that guy from X-Files. I'm like, oh, it can't be. There's no way he's that old.
Totally him. He is that old.
So he was in his early 20s for Flash Gordon. So yeah.
Well, lucky him. Nice, he looks
nice
the same.
Use of midgets or short people. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I mean, they saw what George Lucas had done and thought, we can do that. Hire some small people.
There was a total Ewok thing going on there too.
The Ewok village for sure. Yeah, over there.
Well, plus all those people in the beginning ballroom, or not ballroom scene, but the introduction of Ming, where you've got the little little people in teabag colored teabag outfits.
He's
carrying a sword.
It's weird. So freaking weird.
I wanted to see more about their history.
Yeah.
Did anybody get an Eyes Wide Shut vibe from any of that scene?
Yes. I couldn't place it, but that's exactly right.
Yeah, there was just like a weird, like, where's Tom Cruise and how come that chick's not wearing a top? Except that didn't happen, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that stuff. The robot red dudes, we talked about him. I swear they're robots. They weren't lizard people.
They're not robots.
But I think they were supposed to be, because every time you'd shoot them, they'd shoot sparks and smoke.
You might be right, but the sound people might have gotten confused and said, what are those people? I don't know. Maybe it's the lizards in there. I don't know. Because they use a lot of the sound effects, same sound effects for those guys. So I just assume that.
That's cool. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Freddie Mercury, I already mentioned that. Black Ming costume is awesome. Should have worn that more.
The skinny one that he wears when he goes down to the Hawkman Palace, that one?
Right.
Yeah.
With his plastic helmet, his plastic hairpiece.
That was great. Do fire the guy who decided to have a tree planet full of Robin Hoods. That's a terrible idea.
That was terrific with the big. And I mean, there's only one. They all hung around the big stump. That's all they ever did. They never went anywhere else.
No, the big stump with the holes in it.
With the scorpion in it. Yeah.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Like, seriously, I watched this movie and I just don't understand what you're talking about.
You're talking about the Robin Hood planet with the big stump that they had the holes in and you put
Timothy Dalton's
home planet.
I remember that scene. Yeah. I remember thinking about Dune.
I felt like it looked like Ewok Village with Robin Hood running it. That's what
right?
It
There's
like.
A scene in Dune where you got to stick your hand in. It's going to burn your hand. Like right? I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, same idea. Did you not see that part?
Yes, I saw it. I'm saying I just don't know what the hell was going on. Why was he sticking his hand in the hole? I have no idea.
Right. You're still running on StarCraft or Stargate rules.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. Oh, but talking about some of the cool stuff. I love the hand tasers. Those
where you shot the hands out.
Shoots the hand.
And out in a little spring thing. That's the best.
They use it on the table when they're torturing Ming's daughter, right? Before they bring out the boar worms. And here's a trope for you. No, not the boar worms.
No, anything boar worms.
like Star Trek boar worms, like that.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. Okay, yeah. Two more things, and then we'll get to our clips. The ending with all of the Hawk people forming the word thanks in the sky.
Oh, my God.
I seriously almost pooped my pants. I couldn't believe it.
That's up there. That, as happy endings go, that eclipses episode 4 with the big medal ceremony.
Oh, by far, because it was kind of that anyway. Like, it was that plus Hawk people making words in the sky.
Yeah. Right.
That is so awesome, dude.
Had a very Wizard of Oz kind of feel to it. Actually, all through this movie, there was kind of a wizard.
Thanks.
Feel to just the visuals of it.
The idea of just the word thanks. Come on.
I thought it was Flash.
No, it said thanks.
They said both.
Oh, they said both. Thanks, Flash.
Flash. Yes.
Oh, my shite.
You could tell how much sense this film made to me. I really can't. I was not able to follow. I'm staring at the screen and my eyes aren't working.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I'm going to take you to Cythera, my pleasure moon, and maybe we can talk more there.
Your pleasure moon.
Okay.
Let me tell you, so when they said thanks, Flash, though, in the sky, at least they played a slightly different version of the song. I think it went like this. So you can hear the nuance, a little nuance there.
Oh.
All right.
Hey, if the pleasure moon doesn't work for you, maybe I can let you have some of this drink. It has no name, or as I like to call it on Earth, Jello Shooters.
It has no. Of course, it's like it's the pleasure medicine, right? It's going to make it so that whatever happens to you, you have pleasure. But we couldn't come up with a name. Are you kidding?
Well, I think
by calling it the drink that has no name gives it a name.
Right. There's your name. But that's so dumb. It's supposed to add a layer of mystery and intrigue. It's like. What's it called? Rupees. Oh no, there's no name. It doesn't have a name. Oh, whoa, really? A drink with no name? Well, holy shit. Everybody down a pint of this. Because it's something without a name. Woo!
The minute she said it's gonna make everything pleasure, be like, hand me that. Like you're gonna, you know? I don't know. Something about that.
Because
she wakes up a few minutes later and it's completely empty. And she's just been having a wet dream, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wow, I like this green drink. Green drink is awesome.
Yeah, totally drink. All right, let's do some clips, shall we? This is early on in the film when Ming is messing with the earth and talking about how bored. I'm so bored. So I captured a bit of that very early in the film.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Earthquake.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while.
He's saying Earth like it's a poop in his mouth.
Can we destroy this Earth?
That guy's great, though. Loved his voice.
Yeah.
You know, as sidekicky wannabe. Like, that's a trope, right? That guy, he's the sheriff of Nottingham, kind of, where those dudes are just sort
the
of
lackey.
Like, yeah, the lackey that kind of has ideas for power of their own, and they're super wicked and evil and have the goatee and all that.
His face mask wasn't attached to his chin, so it kind of moved on its own.
Right. I like the puppet quality of that.
Yeah.
He also had Masonic symbols on his chest.
He did. There was a lot of Masonic stuff in this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hand signals and other stuff like that. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think ever since there has become this like widespread conspiracy theory that some secret society is putting imagery in movies, people are putting it in movies just to support the theory.
Oh,
there's no secret society.
Yeah,
we're just messing with you.
Just giving you hell. Exactly.
Except Nicolas Cage, he really means it.
He really means it. Yeah.
Here's a clip of the. Oh, I love these pilots at the beginning of the movie. Bantering back and forth about Flash and his next season and blah, 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 right before the plane decides to take a total dive, or right before those two get pulled out of the front of the ship by Ming's face.
Yep. Lost style.
Yeah, total Lost style.
He is a smoke monster.
So here it is. About 40 seconds of this, but I love it. Here we go.
Green Mountain Airways 123, request joining instructions. Well, I sure hope Flash Gordon had a great vacation. He's going to have to work hard to top last season.
Yeah.
Any problem, fellas?
Bit of clear air turbulence, nothing serious.
Nothing you'd want to toss a third down pass through either. Would you like to autograph this for my kid, Mr. Gordon?
Glad to. What's his name?
Buzz.
call Boston Approach, see what they got.
It might be smoother higher up.
Yeah.
Would you do us a favor and leave them alone? They're busy driving the bus.
It's just a little turbulence. We'll be through it in a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so funny.
It was funny. They're busy driving the bus. I mean, it's hard to make a funny... It's hard to make anything funny out of a movie that already says stuff like that.
You know what? It's hard to make a joke in Flash Gordon and have it be funny. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because it didn't work ever. No one told a funny joke. There were a couple of funny edits, but that's it.
You know, might be less turbulence higher up. Oh, okay. Hey, you're a quarterback, right? Okay.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
we're pilots. We've been trained in this. So why don't you go sit down, have a drink, some peanuts.
Hey guys, I've been taking flying lessons for like 2 weeks.
I'm Flash Gordon. Come on. I play for the Jets.
Have they taught you how to land yet? No, I'm taking the most effed up flying lessons ever, where they teach you how to work this little knob over here, but they don't teach you how to land at first.
Was it the Jets? Was it the Jets or the Giants?
The Jets. I thought it was the Giants.
I thought it was the Giants too.
Was it the Jets? Because I even wrote down, oh great, Mark Sanchez with blonde hair.
All right.
Yeah, his duffel bag said Jets, and he introduced himself as quarterback.
Well, his shirt said Flash.
And thank goodness that they copied that logo down for his headstone when they killed him.
Yeah, that was good.
Man, is that casket and headstone the most freaking awesome thing you've ever seen?
I want that when I die.
I'm telling you, man.
Yep, I want that when I die, and I want a little tape recorder thing right there next to me playing this over and over looped. And they're repeat it and have Brian and Randy going
an American Eagle Outfitters shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. They would have buried him under the name American Eagle Outfitters.
Here's a question. Why aren't we talking more about all of the crazy I wanna sex you up connections in this movie? Like so many characters are trying to get laid and get married. And
no, this is more porny than Flesh Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Minus the flesh. You're not kidding. There's everybody, and there's so little setup for Dale Arden and Flash Gordon getting it on. Like, there's so little in between. Oh, I just met you in this plane, but 2 minutes later, don't leave me, Flash. I love you, Flash. Right. You know, it's like, it's totally weird.
And then not a half an hour later, it's like, okay, we're having kids, right? Yeah, all right, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like it.
Now we're engaged.
I like it.
Tee-hee, tee-hee.
I like it. Mm. That's how things used to roll, man.
Is that how it used to be?
We don't have to have. This is Flash Gordon. We don't have time for a bit long, drawn out love story.
Is that how it still is down in the South?
That's how we roll.
I love how
I walk into the grocery store. I come out with kids. That's how it works.
My favorite trope in the whole movie is that whole daddy's little villain thing.
Oh yeah.
Early on, after you meet Ming, you meet his daughter, and she's all twisting his beard around her finger and telling him that she wants to get with Flash. Like, my goodness.
Yeah. I'll give you one of these for that.
Ding dong diddly.
That fits.
Daddy's little villain.
Yep. Daddy's little ding dong diddly. Okay, we got another one here. Trying to get my head together, says someone. Okay. This is so stupid. They're still on the plane. And this is the kind of dialogue we're subjected to in this film, is all I want to say before I play it. So here it is.
Ooh, talk to me, please. Get my mind off this.
I couldn't believe a girl like you was alone.
You're just saying that to get my mind off this.
No, I mean it. What were you doing there alone?
I was trying to get my head together by myself. You know?
I sure do.
Okay, wait. I just want to make it clear what she said at the beginning. And I don't think it was intentional. It's like, ooh, please say something to get my mind off of this. So he says something. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just saying that to get my mind off of this. Did she know that she was saying that? Because I couldn't tell how intentional that was supposed to be. Was that supposed to be funny? Was it supposed to be?
I think it was supposed to be clever. I think it was.
Maybe.
I don't.
Mission incomplete.
Yeah, I think it was a script problem.
Stupid bullshit.
All right.
I think it was intentional.
Let's meet Zarkov. This is after they crash and they meet the doctor.
Good morning. Are you injured?
The Lord knows why, but it seems not.
A miracle. I expect you'd like to use my phone.
Thanks, I would.
Well, it's right in there.
Listen, we've wrecked your place. I'm sure the insurance will cover
it. Hey, you're kind of creepy.
What the hell happened to the sun?
Looks like an eclipse.
Are you sure? There was nothing about an eclipse on TV.
Well, the phone is right in there.
All right.
I specifically watched Eclipse Watch, and they said nothing about an eclipse.
The Eclipse Channel said nothing. I don't understand. And I really like the... you're not dead or whatever. And he goes,
yeah.
Lord knows why, but it seems not. Who wrote this?
I love it.
Let's see. Who wrote this?
Lord knows why.
You did just, run over my assistant.
Oh, man. What was the assistant's name?
That guy's great. Gerben or Gordon or something. He's in the
thing. No.
It's something like that. It's like a...
Yeah, you think I remember because the doctor caught it like 100 times.
Munson,
get back here, Munson.
Played by William Hootkins, who's got a great real name. And he died at like a weird something in 05.
Did he get shot by Dr. Hans?
No. He died at age 57 in Santa Monica, California. But he's in a lot of stuff that we'd all know. Like, let's see, EverQuest 2, the video game, and Steam Boy, and what else? Actually, there was some real stuff here.
there was some real stuff. You were just naming all the fake stuff.
I can't find it.
Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. He was in that. And he was in Iron Man, the TV series. Not the one where he would have been dead doing it. Never Ending Story 3, which I never saw. And I can't find the other stuff I thought was good. There was some other thing that he did, but a whole bunch of
Batman.
British stuff. And
who cares?
Tim Burton Batman,
right.
Superman, yeah. 4, Quest for Peace. This guy knows how to pick his films.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going, Munson? Get back here, Munson.
Well, he did.
Munson!
He did know.
Munson!
If you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
a moment of silence for that guy. All right.
It was Raiders of the Lost Ark, too.
Oh, he was?
Mm-hmm. Major Eaton.
Oh! No, we know that guy. He was, yeah. He was a dude. What was all pissed at the dock when Sala came to pick up Indy and they were getting out of there, and he was all mad, like constable looking guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Oh, hey, Munson. All right.
And he was all sweaty all the time. He was all sweaty and touching his face with his rag and stuff, and says, "One day I'll probably die from being a sweaty fat guy." Okay. let's see. What are we? Object heading our way, says robotic-like servant people under Ming's rule. Check it out.
Strange object imaged in the Imperial Vortex.
Well, remember, real quick, this is the guy with the stupid goggles.
The TV eyes, right?
Yeah,
no. Those are the new 3DS, Nintendo 3DSs that just came out.
Yeah. Those were hot.
I think that's the Virtual Boy, isn't it?
Those were hot. The Nintendo 3DS headset they're coming out with next. Yeah.
All right, here's more.
What distance?
Now parallel to Starfield Sigma 12. Approaching.
Queen!
Test object for life waves. Positive, form unknown. Approximate Mong scale 3.
Object entering our control range. Approaching the Sea of Fire.
Bring it through safely. Land it.
Approaching the Sea of Vaseline on the lens.
Yeah, they definitely had some fun with the clouds and the skies and stuff in this one. That's
I kind of like that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cool. Yeah. It reminded me of you guys seen the Fountain, the Aronofsky movie?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. He used a lot of that technique. Looks a lot better nowadays, but liquid and we've seen something else where this was a big deal. Oh, here I go again, trying to remember a movie.
They did a lot of that in this movie. I thought it was effective.
It was all right.
Practical effects.
Yeah, it was all right. The practical stuff was okay.
I have no idea what was going on.
I love this. I love his take on this. This is great.
No, you were smoking the smoke that cannot be named.
I just don't know what was going on. Who was Timothy Dalton? I don't know.
He was Robin Hood, Lord of the Dance. There.
What are they? I mean, if we're trying to save Earth, why are we halfway across the galaxy on all these other planets? I don't get it.
You know what? That argument could be placed at the feet of any and all Flash Gordonisms ever. That show, the show, the comic strip, none of that ever made any sense. Like, it's always been like, what are we doing? Why are we here? Mm-hmm. How does any of this have anything to do? And the only root in reality was he played for the Jets, and that's it.
Yeah. I don't think they should ever try to remake this movie. I mean, in any form or fashion, any type of Flash Gordon.
I don't know if you get the right people.
I think it kind of sits where it is, and I think this is the.
I think there's room for improvement. I think we can definitely improve.
I mean, you boil it down to its very base thing, and it's a normal guy who gets thrown kind of a space adventure, and it does fit into that serialized. There's no way of doing it and really doing kind of a real, true, serious take on it. It's got to be tongue-in-cheek humor, Saturday morning serials kind of thing. You know, the
kind of like this movie.
Yeah, by the way, have you ever seen a depiction of a bladed weapon like that gold sword that was less sharp looking and dangerous looking?
less heavy looking?
Yeah. Toys R Us, they have a whole barrel full of them. That's amazing.
It's really odd.
Amazing what you can do with plastic and gold paint these days.
Oh, speaking of weapons. Trope.
Oh, wait. There's a trope? Hold on.
I talked about this trope before, though.
What do you got?
Woman, why are you throwing down your gun? You ain't shot all the lizard dudes yet.
Pick up the gun. You ain't shot all the lizard dudes yet. What you doing, woman?
Come back up, throwing it down, running off. What's wrong with you?
Oh, this won't come in handy later.
No, never need it.
Yeah.
Well, she was kind of half naked. Where's she going to put it?
Well, she doesn't have to conceal it. She can carry it.
It's not like a secret.
She could hide it in that 80s poof hair of hers. That'd be good. We are from Earth and we are friends, says this clip.
Hello. We are from Earth. Friends.
Wow. That's the shooting hand, right, Brian? That's the one you like?
That's just shooting tasers.
Yeah, where they literally shoot a hand out that grabs you by the neck. Or in his case, it shot out, grabbed him by the hand, and then flipped him over somehow.
Yeah, yeah. You know what we need? We need some kind of weapon that we can use from far away without getting too close. We could have some hands attached to lasers. That would be awesome.
That was so bad. So bad. That's when I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah, but it's not like somebody said, what would be cooler than lightsabers? It's like someone said, they already did lightsabers. Damn it.
Hand.
Get a can't hand do better
hand.
Than that.
Let's do a hand. We can't do cool sound effects.
I just saw Adam's Family the other day. Let's do a hand.
Well, that's a good idea, Phil. Let's order pizza. Let's make this happen.
I love my job.
Ming is a psycho. Don't ever whisper that in mixed company, apparently, because this scene tells us why.
This Ming's a psycho.
This Ming is a psycho.
Who said that?
The fair-haired prisoner.
Fair-haired?
The Earthling, but he used a contraction. He said Ming's a psycho. I'm going to go ahead and extend it out to Ming is a psycho.
And if there's an ED on any word, I'll make sure I say Ed at the end.
I just thought it was so strange. This Ming's a psycho. Who said that? Me. The flying robot.
I think what the guy meant was who said it.
Originally.
Right, but that's still funny to think that way. Like, who was that? Well, it's your only glowing, floating orb robot that says anything.
And it's, you know, and it's so much like the robot that comes in to give Princess Leia the truth drug.
Oh, totally. Totally with the camera and everything. The angle on the camera.
It's all over it.
It's all fish-eyed. That's stupid. Mm. Way to go, guys. Still the worst parts of Star Wars, why don't you?
Yeah. Guess you can polish a turd.
They won't miss it.
I guess you can. Let's see. I'm alive. Oh, this is where he's alive again because Ming's daughter, evil daughter, woke him up with a kiss. She says, "Great dialogue here. Perhaps
There's
my favorite
incest thing. Going on there. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah, something strange. But this is some fun talk. Here it is.
Where am I?
Back from the dead. I've saved you.
My God, how?
By magic, of course. With a kiss, because I like you.
Where's Dale and Zarkov?
Don't worry about them. They're safe now. Quickly, put this uniform on before the lizard men arrive to bury you.
I love it! Put this on before the lizard men come to bury you.
Oh, she was totally messing with him, too. I kissed you. No, you didn't.
I saved your life because I like you.
I like you. With a kiss.
I like your chinos, but I would like those short pants you got on, too.
I would like to get it on with you, but not now.
I used magic, of course, and a kiss. But hurry up, the lizard men are coming.
I'll show you how I can use a boar worm.
Lizard men.
On my pleasure moon. So bad. All right. Something about Zarkov's fault. I don't remember what this is. Mr. Clip, haven't had one of those in a while, and I just watched the movie yesterday, so that shows where my memory is. So here it is, talking about Zarkov's fault.
You're saying it's my fault. Earth is being destroyed.
That's right.
Precisely, Doctor.
I thought it might amuse you to know this before your mind is gone. Proceed with it.
why don't you just stab the guy in the ear and be done with it? Because instead, all they did was suck his brain out, which didn't work because he started repeating Shakespeare quotes.
Well, he said what he was going to do is he was going to send him back to the Earth as an agent.
Oh,
you got to pay attention to the details.
I see, because that
I
was
totally
really,
missed that.
Yeah, I know. I knew he was an agent. But I
no, I think I just missed it right now again. I'm not sure that I understand it.
So he brainwashed Zarkov and he was going to send him back to Earth as an agent. And then apparently he was going to send Flash there to be the emperor of Earth and then populate it with his progeny from him and Dale getting
now
it
on. You're getting
the love
it.
Juice and the power potion he takes before his lovemaking sessions.
Oh, you mean the one that doesn't have a name?
No. Yeah. This is something else.
Oh, this one has a name. Oh, okay.
His power potion.
She said she could poison him because he takes his power potion right before
his Cialis. I mean, power potion.
Exactly. Comes in a little blue square. Oh, yeah. Okay. I know what that is.
You see, Ming has an erectile dysfunction.
How forward thinking was that? This is 1980, way before Cialis or
All they had back then were fluffers, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. So there's that one. And then we got the thinking of each other. This is the telepathic phone.
I got
conversation.
Paul for Mr. Gordon.
This is so great.
Paging Mr. Gordon.
Come on, Brian, give us one.
Paging Mr. Gordon. Mr. Gordon.
So this is the scene where he first tries it for the first time.
Yeah. This is him. Hot chick's so kissing on him.
And his, the girl he brought from planet Earth is just waking up from her wet dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dale Hardon. Right.
I love this.
She has every time she dreams, she does that. When she's had the G-force, when she got every time she sleeps, she can't help it.
She's waking up with this empty bottle of green erotica juice. And it looks like she drank it all and went right to sleep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I love the description of that. She said, "Will it make me forget my nights with Ming?" And she says, "No, but it'll make you not mind remembering them." Just fold my mind in half, why don't you?
Could I get the stuff that just makes me forget things?
Right? Does that stuff have a name? Because that's all right.
Do you have one that'll just kill me? That'd be great. So here they are having their thought phone conversation. It's ridiculous. Strap in. It's 37 seconds long.
Where are you?
In a rocket, racing to Arborea to get help. Are you okay? Over.
I'm locked in Ming's bedroom.
Over. Fake him out.
How?
Girls know how, Dale. It's been done to me. Fake him out till I get back. Over.
It's too dangerous for you here. You can't come back. Stay where you're safe.
Oh, my God, this girl's really turning me on.
I didn't quite get that. Think it again.
Forget I thought it. It wasn't about you. Over.
What? Hang up. I've got to go.
Where?
Someone's coming. We've got to stop thinking to each other.
Who, dude, you're just sticking regular phone tropes into the thought thing. It's like,
hang up? Why?
And he's playing CB over there. Yeah. Over. Over.
And apparently his boner has a beep to it.
That sucked. Gosh, that sucked. Awesome. My wife hated that part too. She's like, really? She goes, I can't watch this anymore. So I don't really blame you.
Loved it.
Yeah, but
the
you
fact
loved it.
So serious? He's like, over.
And we loved it in 1080p, I should mention.
Right.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Stupid. Hang up. How do you hang up a thought thing? Or how did you not hear him go, this girl's really turning me on? You didn't really hear that? Oh,
that's the one part you missed.
And you just need him to think it again?
We're breaking up. No, we can't hear you. Gotta go.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Think about a ham sandwich and confuse everybody? Stupid.
Boner, areola. Oh, crap. Stop thinking this.
Boner, areola.
If they were really hearing your thoughts, they would be really fragmented. You know, your thoughts are mostly,
Brian Ibbett just invented kind of a perverted version of duck, duck, goose. boner, areola. Let's play a game of that. Oh, my gosh, that's funny. All right. Horrible fake swamp monster sounds. So here's a guy with a microphone and some time on his hands. This is really annoying, but also you can just tell it's a guy with a mic. This is no Lucasfilm production. That's all I'm saying. Check it out. So if you breathe into a mic,
and
we slow it down, that might sound like a giant bloated bladder monster in the swamp.
Bladder monster. <I know.
laughs> It was a bladder monster, totally.
Yeah, well, big rubber.
By
bladder.
The way, Prince Baron's number two, his sidekick, the flute playing bald guy.
Oh yeah,
is Richard O'Brien, who is the guy who wrote and starred in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
He's also in Dark City, by the way.
Oh,
love Dark City.
Oh, I did not know that.
Y'all should watch that again if you
haven't
seen
Dark City.
So yeah, get that on DVD. Get that on Blu-ray, as a matter of fact.
Love Dark City.
Should watch it again.
So good. Weird Kiefer Sutherland in that. Oh, and the director's cut does not have his narration, but that's a whole other movie, a whole other time. All right. Horrible Fake Monster to Who Do You Fight? Who do you fight?
Yes, and who do you choose to fight? Him.
This place is a lunatic asylum.
Oh, that's where that came from.
That's right.
So Brian Blessed, absolutely one of the best actors in this film. Maybe, you know, Max von Sydow, obviously, you got to throw in there. But anytime Brian Blessed was on screen, it was...
So is his name Blessed or Blessed? Because now I'm confused about Fair Herod, and now I don't know what to think.
Two syllables.
All right. I would assume Blessed. So, but Fair Herod really threw me off.
Yeah, two syllables for Blessed.
The Fair Herod one. Blah. All right. Here is I Love You, Flash. This is during the fight that Brian likes so much, Ibbet, on the Disc of Death.
Oh, yeah.
And she loves Flash.
Flash! Flash, I love you! But we only have 14 hours to save the Earth.
Okay. So I love you, but we've only got... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I love... but there's this problem with me loving you.
That's right.
The Earth's about to be destroyed.
You know, I hate that trope in so many movies. That just pisses me off so bad when somebody's trying to fight and the girl constantly just yells your name. It's like, will you leave me the hell alone?
Yeah, let me fight.
Just let me fight.
I got stuff to do here.
I know. All you're doing is making me look over at you because I'm thinking something's happened to you.
I'm fighting I'm fighting James Bond, and there are rubber spikes to avoid. I mean, come on. What are you doing, lady?
That's going to like make me fight harder or better? Faster.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why don't you just shout defense over on the side?
I would love to see the hero just stop one time and go, wait one second, wait just 1 minute, and go over to the woman and go, will you shut the hell up?
Yeah, but didn't she do a little bit of cheerleading during the football thing at the beginning?
She did in the football.
Yes. Oh, yes. God.
I forgot about that. She so did. Bad. Yeah.
So bad. She did like a routine.
Yes.
Yeah, it was horrible.
All right, and finally we have the wedding. Let's get to the wedding. This is Ming being hooked up with the chicky poo, and they have some strange vows. Check it out.
Do you, Ming the Merciless, ruler of the universe, take this earthling, Dale Arden, to be your empress of the hour?
Of the hour, yes.
You promise to use her as you will?
Certainly.
Not to blast her into space? Until such time as you grow weary of her.
I do.
I do not.
Left that on the end. He'll save every one of us.
Every one of us.
All right.
Except for the lizard man who gets shot at the beginning.
He doesn't stand a chance.
He'll save everybody but a few of the lizard people. And that bloated bladder monster. But other than that, pretty much everyone. Oh yeah, when the guy spikes through the face, he's dead.
On the bitchy scientist chick.
Yeah. But other than that. Suddenly don't mind that song so much. All right, that's it for that. Let's move on to some of this. We have awards to give out for this film, for the performances therein, and other such nonsense. Best Gimli impression. Blessed, dude, what was the leader of the Hawkmen?
Yes.
He was Gimli and Sala and all those characters combined. Sliders, all that stuff. Put them all in there. Let's see. Best I'll Never Do This, or I'm sorry, Best I'll Never List This on My Resume Award, Timothy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Dude who most looks like an extra on one of those Star Trek Love Planet episodes, the guy who played Flash Gordon.
Right.
Don't you think? You could see
totally
him
like
in those
the blonde people that walk around in the background.
Yep, with a little tight, little diapery looking things.
Yes.
Like sashes and stuff. Totally that guy. Best almost Darth Vader character goes to the Darth Vader character that was almost like Darth Vader. best cameo of Freddie Mercury's mustache, Timothy Dalton. Leading lady who still looks awesome, sans plastic surgery, the main chick lady who played Dale. She looks great. Mm-hmm. Scene that most resembled a Japanese bullet hell scrolling shooter, the final scene. You know, or just you can't avoid all those bullets, but he did anyway. Yeah. That was so
dumb. Tell me why the Hawkmen need a rocket cycle, by the way.
They don't.
That's like what I thought. No, it's not even a rocket cycle. Don't even put it to that level.
It's like a flying wave runner.
Yeah, look like a wave runner.
It's a jet ski.
Yep.
It's the slowest freaking flying segue.
Yeah. I may be mentioning that jet ski again in the while we learned a segment. We'll see. You'll have to wait and see.
Oops.
No, it's all right. Soundtrack great. I'm going to give it an A for awesome because it was really terrible and inappropriate. Now, don't get me wrong. I love me some Queen, and I don't even necessarily mind the Flash song. But Randy's right. They wear it like a blanket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Through the whole film.
Well, through about two thirds of the ending too. Like is just that same old chorus of the. Watching the film, it's like, oh yeah, there's the, you know, there's the gas mask scene, or there's the football fight song, or there's this and there's that.
Do you think there's a way to do a soundtrack today where you have that kind of blurting in with lyrics? Like, does anyone do that now?
The dialogue, film dialogue. Queen also did it with Highlander, the soundtrack to the film Highlander, which was the only other soundtrack that they did, and they had film quotes in that. So I don't know if it's something that they get to decide or if it's something the producer says, no, we want to do soundtrack with.
I mean, you could make
that's the last one.
You could make the case that Scott Pilgrim is chock full of that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
The Napoleon Dynamite soundtrack too has a lot of.
Yeah, that's true.
But to me, it's more interesting that the movie itself features action, action, action. I'm coming to save you, Flash!
In case you didn't know, here comes the action.
Yeah,
my favorite rock and roll score of all time is for the movie Maximum Overdrive, the AC/DC score to Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah,
I love that movie. By the way,
we need to get that one going.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that again.
Yeah,
I know Scott hates it.
No,
right?
I hate it, but love it.
You don't hate it?
No, I hate it, but love it, dude. You like it because you just genuinely like it. I'm going to love it for the show, but I'm going to hate it. I'm going to hate it.
Never seen it.
Really?
Can't wait to see it.
You can see the thing that the Stephen King still regrets.
The Green Goblin headed truck and everything.
That's brilliant. Oh my gosh.
And it'll be our third major Emilio Estevez film. Wow. And isn't what's her name in that too? Ally Sheedy? No. No.
I have no idea.
No, I don't think that's her. That was who was that? I'll look it up real quick. Go ahead.
My mind is still not working from this movie.
Your brain just kind of shut off.
Yeah, it really did. After they met the flying robot, I really don't have much understanding of anything, including what we're doing right now.
Well, here is your chance to give us your understanding in 140 characters or less. Yes, it is our traditional Twitter post. Let's start with you, Randy. How would you sum this thing up in 140 characters or less?
Flash Gordon. It was so bad that it was almost good. Almost. And by almost, I mean not even remotely.
Agreed. Although, I don't know. In a fight, Zardoz versus this, giving it to Zardoz. Let's go now to Brian. Brian Dunaway. Yes, Brian Dunaway.
Flash Gordon summed up in one plot point. One person has to keep their foot on the red pedal when a brick could really do the job.
Good point.
You can't leave the planet without a foot. He needs a foot to leave the planet.
That was weird.
Why don't you put the pedal on the same side as the stupid other controller thing, dummy?
Exactly. This guy is no Zefram Cochran. I'll tell you that.
No. Absolutely not. That'll do, pig. That'll do. All right. That's a weird reference. And then finally, Brian Ibbett, what do you got?
Flash Gordon, corny and porny. The Emperor's daughter bangs every man in sight. There's a hot chick pillow fight, and every spaceship looks like a dildo.
True. Cat fight. Love that scene.
Everything did look like a dildo, as you say.
Yes.
Let me tell you what this is what I learned when you goofed around on your rotating spiky wrestling platform or whatever the hell it is. Even if I have a button for every possible natural disaster, I really only need this kick-ass ring.
That's right.
Forget guns and forget guns that shoot lasers. I want a gun that shoots hands.
Yeah.
My ring causes earthquakes and hurricanes and mesmerizes the ladies.
Yeah.
Oh, look, your sand tiny thingy goes upside down.
That was pointless.
Totally pointless.
They had a
hanging guy behind it just to fool your eye and to go, well, he's
can't
hanging.
Make it move. Yeah.
That was a lot of work to really
I know.
No benefit.
It made me think. It made me think that guy's really standing on his head back there. It's just a big fakery. Yeah. Let's see. I want my own secret pleasure moon. George Lucas called. He wants his Ewok forest back. I also want my own space jet ski. And finally, never put your hands in strange holes. And that's what I learned.
Yes.
No, sir.
While you goofed around on your dumb
stump that looks like a vagina.
We have
somebody. If they had a floating spike platform playset, right, with a little platform that had spikes that came up and with little action figures, I would have totally bought that.
Oh, I would
buy that today.
Yeah. I would totally buy it today, even more than then. I think I would.
Yeah.
Maybe it exists. Someone let us know. Filmsack@gmail.com. Speaking of emails, we got one from a listener. We'll play Scott Fletcher quotes in a second. I got a few good ones from him. Mark Thomas wrote in from Carterton, UK, and says, "Hi, Scott, Randy, Brian, and Brian. Currently watching the 1980s classic with Matthew Broderick and thought you might be right up your street for Film Sack talking about Lady Hawk. You have to do it. Thanks. Keep up the great work." No, we have not done Lady Hawk. That would give us some Matthew Broderick. That would give us a little bit of the in War Games. My brain's went dead. Dabney Coleman.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Matthew Broderick.
I
have no memory. I have one memory of this movie. And again, I saw it when I was really young. And I don't remember anything kind of like this movie. I remember there being a cave and a hawk flying into it. And that's all I remember.
Is it Michelle Pfeiffer? Who's the,
oh, I don't know.
Who's the girl that can turn into a hawk?
Is it Michelle Pfeiffer? Pfeiffer?
I can't be. She had to be too young.
Are you sure?
Right? She's such a hottie.
I think you're right.
She's still good looking.
You seen
her lately?
Great.
She's beautiful.
All I'm getting is Lady Gaga. Hold on a second.
I'm pulling up too. Yeah, that's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, it was. That's right. That's what I thought it was.
All right. Well, how do you spell Pfeiffer? I'm looking her up.
P-F-E-I.
Don't just look at Lady Hawk.
She's even today, just a striking lady.
Mm-hmm. Yardley Smith, by the way, was Connie in Maximum Overdrive. Do you remember that?
Yardley Smith?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. She had to have been young.
Two.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
But that's not the main love interest. I think it was Laura Harrington. Is that right?
Don't know her. I was hoping it was Charlie Sheen. You ruined my day. So there's that email, and we will put this on the list if we can get it. Thank you so much, Mark Thomas. Scott Fletcher, I require that you give us some quotes. First, we have this.
Flash! He'll save every one of us.
So there's his version of that. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Awesome. I want to say thank you to Al for hooking us up with this, because this is a great experience for me. I had never seen Flash Gordon, so this was
fun. I love that he sent us this. That was so nice of him, and we're glad to have finally put an episode for you, Al, together. So if you're listening, and we sure hope you are. He's lost interest now. I haven't listened to that show in a few months.
This is a piece of my childhood that I now have in 1080p, so thank you, Al.
Tell me more about this man, says Scott Fletcher.
Tell me more about this man, Houdini.
Yeah, that was real obscure, but yeah.
That was weird.
That was when they were hanging in the Slavatorium.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. The Slavatorium, was that what it's called? Mm-hmm. With helmets that get zapped away by a laser beam? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Sign of weakness.
It's what they call tears. It's a sign of weakness.
Leaky eyes. And then finally... Now, bear with me. This one might go on a little while. Okay. But here it is.
Oh, well, who wants to live forever?
Now, I thought that was it. That goes on for another like half a minute.
Awesome.
Scott Fletcher really, really made it happen today. So thank you, Scott Fletcher, for all you do. And of course, thank you, everybody who listened to this episode. It's going to do it for this one. Our next film is Big Trouble in Little China.
Nice.
Big Trouble in Little China. Or as Brian Dunaway said before the show,
Little Trouble in Big China.
Yeah. Which is the porn parody version.
Lesser known.
Yeah. But equally as sexy. I have no idea. I've not seen this film, so I don't know.
It has Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, and
no, he was going to be in it.
No, he was. He would have been Little Trouble, but then you know, China was kind of big,
right? So
she was a big lady.
How many of us have not seen it?
I've seen it.
I've seen it.
Ibbot, you haven't seen it?
I have not seen it.
Team Gibbet.
That's right.
Team Gibbet, bringing in the pain once again. We're going to see this for the first time. Get it off our list of shame and watch Big Trouble in Little China. That'll be next week's episode. In the meantime, visit the website, filmsack.com. The email address is filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, there are things happening on Twitter. It's twitter.com/filmsack. Leave us reviews on iTunes. We love that stuff. And a reminder to those who are attending or planning on attending Nerdtacular this year, Nerdtacular 2011, June 17th. Get your tickets now at nerdtacular.com. They are available. There are some left. We want to make sure as many film sackers come as possible because we are doing a live episode of this show at the event. I cannot wait for that. We also have a contest coming very soon that will help. You are going to help us pick the movie to do that we'll watch in advance and then cover there. Cannot wait for that. So please check it out, nerdtacular.com.
So come on, people.
Yes. It's going to be fun. All these guys, we're all going to be there. So it's going to be freaking epic, along with lots of other great people, a full day event, all the details, nerdtacular.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next week.
Not the boarworms.
Brought to you by Universal Steroids. The Universal Soldier Regeneration is
retrograde.
About that. Retrograde, Johnny Mnemonic, The Street Fighter, The Sudden Death, and Time Cop 2012, Independence 2012.
Day. Oh, Independence Day.
Godzilla, Day After Tomorrow.
The Patriot, Day After Tomorrow. Stargate.
Stargate. Stargate, the television series. Stargate.
The Patriot.
Braveheart. Braveheart.
Independence Day, the new 2012.
10,000 BC.
Day After Tomorrow, 2012. Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Angry Birds.
Independence Day.
Independence Day. Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
Godzilla.
No. 2012.
Avatar.
Profiler.
Speed.
Gladiator. A Terminator.
Or Rocky movie. So,
Gladiator and Gladiator.
No Holds Barred. Fifth Element. Star Trek Enterprise.
Dark Knight.
Friday. Fifth Element.
Dark Knight.
The TV show China Beach. In China Beach.
Universal Soldier 4. The Expendables.
Yeah. Expendables. Mm-hmm. Universal Soldier. A New Dimension. Universal Soldier. The Return. Universal Soldier Regeneration in 09.
Future Sport.
Crystal Knights. Mnemonic, not Miami Beach.
China Beach.
Apocalypse Now. Day After Tomorrow.
Tell Me You Love Me. Lost.
Mad Men. Mad Men.
Showgirls.
Terminator movie. Terminator Blank Stare Edition. Street Fighter.
Time Cop.
Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Spawn. Dark Knight. Popeye.
Body Count.
Expendables.
Scrubs. Cougar Town Show.
Expendables or Machete.
Hard Target. Fifth Element. The Aliens. Mnemonic. Predator 2. Law and Order.
Freaking Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. Terminator 2. War Games. Goonies versus Monster Squad. Johnny Mnemonic. The Goonies. Stand by me. Sliders.
Chunk.
Stand by me. Sliders. Indiana Jones. Predator 2.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Flash Gordon.
Big Trouble in Little China. RoboCop. Jason X.
RoboCop.
Total Recall. Action Jackson. Predators. Action Jackson.
Every Which Way But Loose.
The Every Which Way But Loose. That's
Down Under.
Flash Gordon.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.